You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Your girl been saver, better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome. Welcome. Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad I'm here. I am Dr. Dawn Karima, and when we first started this show, almost 20 years ago, in January, I was a student. And my brother said this show should be called Dawn Karima and Her Friends. And you know what? He's right, because all of our guests are spectacular guests that join us are either wonderful friends of mine or they become great friends of mine. But this day is very special because one of my dear friends is here with us today, talented, brilliant, and eloquent, and radiant. Will you please introduce yourself to our friends who are listening?
Hi, thank you for having me. I am Veronica Hanway Lee, and I am currently a geography PhD student.
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there are so many great things that you are doing. So I'll just start off by asking you, what are you passionate about right now?
Right now, I'm passionate about protecting my child from COVID-19 and helping prepare him and my family and others to adapt to climate change and to avoid COVID infections.
Well, I certainly agree with you on that, and we are doing everything in our power to protect our family as well. So, wow, that's a lot. What does that look like to you?
Right now, it looks a lot like using digital space and using clean air mitigations like HEPA filters and respirators and homeschooling, most importantly, homeschooling my little one.
Absolutely.
Yep.
This is wonderful. This is so great that you are willing to do this. And it takes a lot of courage, and you are a brave and courageous person to do that. And so, how does this outlook and what you're trying to do impact the research you're doing right now?
That's a great question. So the research that I'm doing right now is heavily impacted by my current experience. So my research, when I was doing my master's and trying to finish it up, I was a mother of a brand new baby. I tried my best to protect him from any COVID infections. And while I was doing my master's, I was supposed to do field work in California. And I couldn't do my field work because California had shut down. So that informs my research now. I can't. Right now, public transportation is not the safest space for people who are disabled or who are just trying to avoid COVID infection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now I'm focusing more on clean air communities, or in the U.S. they're known as COVIDing communities.
Mm. Wow, what exciting research. So what are you learning? What are you seeing about this?
So what I've seen so far is that people are very passionate about breathing clean indoor air and clean outdoor air.
Yeah.
We've known that clean air is important for our survival, and we also know that COVID disproportionately impacts Black, Indigenous, people of color, queer people, and medically vulnerable people. This is an environmental justice issue. It's a disability justice issue, and it needs to be addressed and further understood.
Wow, absolutely, absolutely. And so what do you hope that your research brings to the table?
I hope that my research helps us prepare for future pandemics.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's a lot of discussions on the H5N1 outbreak that we're seeing in all sorts of different animals and people.
Mm-hmm.
And H5N1 is also airborne, just like COVID, which it is transmitted through the air that we breathe. And I'm hoping that I can help not only people prepare for future pandemics, but try to survive the ongoing pandemic that we're mm-hmm. currently experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. And I appreciate you saying that. I do, not minimizing it, but actually being truthful about it, which is kind of hard to come by these days, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, this research sounds very exciting. What are you learning about yourself? Because research, yes, as we do research, we do learn a lot about our topic, but we also learn a lot about ourselves. What are you learning about yourself during this research?
I am learning more about how adaptive I've become in trying to protect my little one,
mm-hmm.
and how passionate I am about trying to make sure that, this is very close to my heart, trying to make sure that he has a mom that can be there for him,
right,
and give him the skills and protect him fiercely. Before I became a mom, I was like, oh, motherhood. I was a nanny before I became a scientist. So I was like, oh, motherhood, I take care of kids. It's pretty easy. But now, like, being a mom is not easy. Being a parent mm-hmm. during a pandemic is not easy. So mm-hmm. I'm learning that I'm more strong than I had thought, but mm-hmm. also there are moments where I am very humbled by parenthood and pandemic parenting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I am so much moved by what you are saying, because I'm experiencing it as well. And I wonder if you have any words of wisdom for other mothers who are going through this time and doing the very best they can.
I would say trust your gut. We bring these beautiful beings into existence and when you know that something is wrong, when to go with your gut instinct and know there's nothing more beautiful than protecting your child.
Right.
It is such a beautiful experience, and fierce and continuing to fiercely protect your child from a disease and that wreaks havoc on our bodies and also wreaks havoc on future generations.
Absolutely. It is absolutely necessary to keep that in mind, and I really appreciate you saying that. Well, there's so much I would love to learn about your research topic, but I think I'll start by saying, what do you want me to know about your research topic?
That's a good question. My research topic is very important, especially as you and I and other parents across the world, it's important. And it's also important to know that we're not alone. I think there's this longstanding narrative that clean air communities or COVIDing communities are very small, and that not a lot of people are taking precautions, when in reality, I've met people across the world that are still doing everything they can to avoid COVID.
I wonder also if there's sort of a perception in the wider world that still COVIDing clean air conscious communities are somehow eccentric or different, a different lifestyle or something like that, as opposed to thinking these are just parents and families and people who are trying to protect their health the very best way they know how. What do you think of that?
That's definitely something I've received some pushback on, with people saying, oh, like your COVID science beliefs, and saying like, oh, like this isn't a problem. The governments are all saying like COVID is no big deal. It's just a cold. It's just a flu. And really in reality, everyone knows someone who is either Black, Indigenous, or people of color, or queer, or medically vulnerable, and we're really just trying to survive.
I wonder if there's another layer to your research, too. Investment. You know, there are many things I have read about, and I enjoyed reading about them, or I learned about them, and I was glad that I did. But I wasn't invested in them in the same way that I am in motherhood. You know, by design, mothers are thoroughly and completely invested in the future of our young children. And I wonder if that sense of investment, that this topic, it's not just I'm interested in it, or I care about it, or I like it, or it's kind of fascinating, or it's a good research topic, right? Mm-hmm. This is life. We are invested in this. Does that make a difference?
Oh, yes, completely. So interestingly enough, during my undergrad, I had the privilege of being an undergraduate research assistant. Mm-hmm. And my mentor, who's an amazing mentor, shout out to Dr. Schenker. At first I was interested in learning how small island developing states are adapting to sea level rise. Mm. And she told me, you know, that's a great idea, but I'm not sure you're invested. How is that impacting you? Go home, think about your research more. And then I came in the middle of the night. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't really even know anyone who lives on small islands. And so, but I do know that my family is losing water access due to drought in California. So I was invested in that because it was directly impacting my family.
Yeah.
And now climate change and COVID are directly impacting my family. How my family interacts with in-person spaces and digital spaces. I'm very invested in this research, and that's what I've been told is make sure that you can research something that you're going to want to learn and talk about for a very, very long amount of time.
Well said. Thank you for that. And so let's talk about climate. I think a lot of folks are seeing weather events, you know, hurricanes almost weekly, two at a time, things like that. We're seeing droughts, and we're seeing all of these hot, scorching days in the summer and strange weather, right? But I still feel like there's a big disconnect when it comes to talking about climate and what this really means to all of us. Can you help us with that, please?
Oh, of course. So one thing I've learned is people might, there's a disconnect between what understanding climate versus weather events.
Mm-hmm.
And with climate, we're talking about longer periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Climate is more not seasonal. It's more like years and decades and longer than decades. And what we've seen with the disconnect between weather events and climate change is there's this lack of understanding and limited science communication from climate scientists helping the general public understand what is the difference between weather, what is the difference between climate, and how are those connected. And they're connected through rising temperatures with more energy that gets held in our climate system, our Earth system. It needs to go somewhere. So where is it going to go? It's going to go into the oceans. It's going to rise those temperatures. And that energy has to be outputted. It has to go somewhere. So that's where we're seeing these large scale hurricanes. We're seeing also longstanding droughts with limited precipitation because it's so hot. And one thing that I think is the biggest disconnect is just that general public understanding. Does that help?
Very much so. Thank you. That was very well said. And so let's ask the question, the big question. Is there such a thing as climate change?
Yes, most definitely. we've known about climate change since the later 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a lot of industries out there, particularly the fossil fuel industry, that has been putting out this narrative with not so great science, that's saying, oh, no, it's not really happening. But we experience climate change every day. Like one of my professors said, like climate is all around us, just like the air. We even have indoor microclimates. So climate change is definitely, it's science, it's scientifically fact that climate change is real and is happening.
All right. Thank you for that powerful truth. What do we do about it?
What do we do about it? That's a good question. We list, so for me, I think it's very important to understand how marginalized and minoritized groups are experiencing these weather events that are amplified by climate change. It's very important for us to know how is climate impacting these people who are disproportionately impacted by other environmental hazards. Environmental hazards like pollution and lack of clean air, clean water access. And what do? Is we talk about it more. Sometimes people don't want to talk about things that make them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But also something that I've heard from a lot of people is, I feel so powerless about climate change. And I know that it's not on the individual level to help bring down those emissions, but it is so important to know that there are individual level things that you can do to help the environment with climate change. And then there's also larger community scale things that you can do. And to know that it's not a one person solvable problem.
As you look at climate change and your research topic, how do they intersect? How do they impact each other?
That's a great question. So we know that with rising temperatures and changes in humidity, that it's a great breeding ground for pathogens. And we also know that changes in how we use land, there's a lot of deforestation going on. There's a lot of land use issues that contribute to interspecies connections or interactions.
Uh-huh.
So when an animal habitat is taken away from it, or there are humans who are interacting, they don't have that habitat anymore. So where are they going to go? And we're seeing that with those human and other species interactions, that's where a lot of pathogens happen. We see that with mosquitoes. We see that with livestock. We see that with all sorts. There's a lot of interspecies connections that are leading to these pathogens that we're trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm. If you had to describe your research topic in just a few words, what would you call it?
What would I call it? I would call it, that's a good question. I would call it clean air communities adapting to climate change and not getting COVID or long COVID.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very powerful. When we think about clean air communities, especially from your research and what you know, what are the most important things that actually create a clean air community?
So one thing that's very important is access to, from what I've seen with my research, access to digital space.
Uh-huh.
So social media, Facebook. I know very early on in the pandemic, some people in clean air communities have relied on scientific communication through Twitter and
yes.
tweets.
Mm-hmm.
So really being able to have accessible education that helps people prevent their COVID infections. At the early on in the pandemic, I was scrolling on Twitter and kind of doom scrolling and just trying to figure out, okay, so there's this new thing called COVID. What do I do?
Uh-huh.
And then later on, I went on Instagram. Later on in the pandemic, I saw Mask Together America's beautiful photos, and those just helped me know that, like, I'm not alone in trying to avoid it. And that, you know, even though if there's people in my life that aren't masking because there are a lot of reasons why some people don't mask. But having that access to digital space and just information in general.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's what really resonates with me about clean air communities, is that they are so very digital. Like that, you know, that's how we find each other, that's how we build our communities, our friendships, homeschooling, medical care, telehealth, right? And so at the core of it all, I think it's amazing that we've taken something that was already there. The internet existed, right? And we have used it and repurposed it into something that is protecting us, that's helping us, educating us, connecting us. I mean, I think that speaks volumes to the resilience of these intentional COVID-safe communities, and that is wonderful. So what's the most important quality that you think someone has to have in order to be part of a COVID-safe community?
I think it's important for people, the most important thing is to understand that there are intersections in our community. There are some clean air communities in the digital spaces, social media, that aren't always safe for people of color, queer people, even medically fragile people, and understanding that we can't just say, oh, I'm just not going to get COVID I'm going to protect my family from COVID. But we also need to be mindful that these spaces aren't always safe for marginalized and minoritized people, and recognizing that there needs to be multiple streams of solidarity and community care and connection.
Mm-hmm. You are so wonderful at explaining and teaching things in such a good way, really. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about how we in the COVID safe spaces can make them safer for others, or spaces that are more inclusive.
One thing that I think that I've noticed is that so many people that I have met through clean air communities is we've felt abandoned by so many people, and there's a lot of grief that comes with losing that community, that in-person community, and recognizing that, yes, there are a lot of hurt people, and something that thankfully my COVID safe therapist says is like, hurt people sometimes hurt people and they don't even realize it. So being able to have difficult conversations in clean air communities instead of just writing them off, leaning into difficult conversations, I've found really helps in gaining a mutual understanding of what issues are and how can we do better. If we're not talking about it, if we're just leaving groups, if we're just kicking people out of communities who have maybe offended us or said something that doesn't sit right with us, there's a lot of things that are lost. And even on TikTok, there have been COVID cautious content creators who have been written off by certain people because of one thing that they said, and not leaning into those difficult conversations and not have, but also there are some things that are non-negotiable, and recognizing that, you know, there are some people who, for medical reasons, they can't wear respirators. And recognizing that there are some people in our communities who need other people to wear respirators. And if that's kind of like a deal breaker, then how can we move forward there? And that's where I see more people leaning into digital space.
Mm-hmm.
But there's things like racism and ableism and sexism and I don't want to say all the isms, but there are some things that are just non-negotiable. And I think that also needs to be addressed too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well said. Because I do think there are non-negotiables. But I also wonder if there are... this happened, right? And everything has been, to this point, reactive, right? Like when COVID first arrives, all of us that have newborns or are expecting are just like, oh no, what? And we have to go into matriarch mode, you know, like protect our child That's it. We have to do it. And there was no time, perhaps, for... in fact, education was very difficult to come by because of misinformation and minimizing and disinformation. I mean, I actually remember being troubled about this and a nurse patting my hand and saying, oh, well, they say that kids don't really get it. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, of course, we know much better now. Mm-hmm. But a lot of this, I wonder, is because we had to do it in the heat of battle. We didn't sit down and say, now let us research this. Here's all the information. You know, people know how to deal with chicken pox.
Right.
They know what to do with, you know, influenza. We had no idea. And so a lot of these online spaces, a lot of these COVID-safe connections and spaces happened. They didn't have a design or a training period or an opportunity to work out a lot of future problems. They just happened. And then in real time, we were all struggling to keep up with the correct information, and everyone's trying to stay safe, and people are trying to decide what to do and what not to do. And then there's a really loud, you got to live your life voice out there, you know, mm-hmm. right? Telling, oh, don't take off that mask. Oh, don't put the baby in a mask. What, you know? And those people were loud. And then, of course, the government and other agencies and all, you know, we are public health now. And I sometimes wonder what would have happened if we had had the luxury of design, time. It wasn't an emergency. It wasn't a crisis. But it was. We went right into a crisis. And in crisis mode, you know, in triage, if someone goes to the ER, they don't check their manicure and their pedicure. They check their vital signs.
Right.
And so some of these things now that we're finding and having to work through and all, you know, we have to remember that this was birthed in a crisis. You know, it was birthed in a real trauma. And now we're able a little bit to try to refine and sort of make some other decisions. When we come back from commercial, we're going to continue this really beautiful conversation. And I am so thankful our guest is with us today. We'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. it's okay to have questions. Like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
You're walking alone. A group of people is hanging out just ahead. Suddenly, they surround you.
Hey, yo, where you going? Come here.
Before you know it, you're being robbed. It's called a pack robbery, a robbery involving a group of assailants, and it can be violent. In times like these, trust your instincts. Don't become their next victim. Avoid suspicious groups. Avoid desolate or poorly lighted areas. Be aware of your surroundings. To learn more about pack robberies, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or... Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
See you next time, Dr. Carter.
All right, Mr. Stewart. Keep taking your pills.
Mr. Stewart is one of my patients, a smart one. He's at risk for kidney disease, so he gets simple testing done, because kidney disease doesn't have warning signs. But if you have diabetes or high blood pressure, or a family member with kidney failure, you're at risk. So get tested, because you have the power to prevent kidney disease.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health, National Kidney Disease Education Program.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
I love our conversation today because I love my friend who's joined us as a guest today. And she is very knowledgeable, energetic, educated, but most of all, kind, caring, and compassionate. And when all that comes together, what a wonderful academic it makes. Would you please reintroduce yourself to our friends?
Hi, yes, I am Veronica Hanway Lee, and I'm a PhD student in geography.
That is wonderful. I'm so glad you're here. Would you like to tell us what it is that you do as a PhD student in geography?
That's a good question. Lots of reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I never thought I would be a PhD student. Honestly, I never thought I would even get my bachelor's. And now I'm finding that I am reading more than I ever have in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And I am doing some of my funding comes from grading undergraduate work in undergraduate classes. So I'm also doing some grading, and I've been to a couple of conferences. Interestingly enough, I went to the National Air Quality Conference, and there was an anti-COVID conference this year. So also going to conferences. And that's what I do as a PhD student, lots of reading and writing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful to know, because I think there's so many young people that are thinking about higher education and maybe folks thinking about going back to school or grad school or something like that. So what would be your advice to people who are thinking about pursuing a graduate degree?
That's a great question. I also have this conversation with some of my mentees. My undergraduate mentees, I think mentorship is very important.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's thinking about going to grad school, you need to know what you want to learn more about and what is driving you to go to graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to simply learn? Are you going to grad school to become a professor? Or are you trying to go more into industry? And also really understanding that graduate school, especially, I come from a background where I'm a first generation student, college student, and there are so many mentorship opportunities where if someone's thinking about getting a degree in grad school, just reaching out. If people even want to reach out to me on social media or other people that they know who have gone to graduate school, having a conversation about what am I getting into when I get into grad school?
This is so important, I think, to have these kind of conversations, because these are the parts that no one really tells you. You know, you get the brochure, or you go on the virtual tour, or you go visit the campus, and yet, there's some things you better know. So when you think about our young people who are listening, I'm going to hand you the mic and just let you speak from your heart exactly to our young people right now about their education, about whatever it is you want to share with them.
I would love to, I think it's very important for you to understand that you're very strong. You're stronger than you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, oh, you're so resilient, or, oh, you're so stubborn. And if you're passionate about learning or even reading or learning how to write, going through homeschooling, it will come. And there are people who will help you along the way. You will find the right people who will help you, help support your dream.
My granddaddy used to say that there was two ways to learn things. You could either make mistakes or you could have mentors. And I would love for you to talk to us about what you think makes a good mentor.
Oh, that's a great question. So immediately I think of my first mentor, Dr. Schenker. She's my example of what a great mentor is. And she believed in me. She believed in my work. She believed that I deserved to be going to grad school too.
Yes.
And a good mentor gives you the tools of like, okay, how do I even find a research article? I don't know how to do that. A mentor will help you. I don't know how to write a application. Your mentor, if you ask, or they might just say, hey, I don't know about your experience, but I'll show you how to write this or give you some examples. Mm-hmm. And I think great mentors really check in with their mentees. How are you doing? For example, there was an election or this happened. How are you doing mentally and physically? Doing those mental health check-ins are so important. And also understanding, while I was working with this mentor, I was dealing with a lot of postpartum depression. Uh-huh. And she understood that my mental health mattered. And she would check in with me. And I miss her so dearly. She's still my mentor. But a good mentor will check in and genuinely care. They're not, and a good mentor doesn't assume that you know what you're doing, because so many of us do not know what we're doing. Even full professors don't know what they're doing sometimes. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for helping us with that. And, you know, because we have young people, a lot of young students who listen to us, some listen for their classes and class credit, things like that. What makes a good mentee? Because I think that's super important, too. I mean, if these people are going to take time out of their lives to pour into us and to be a blessing to us, then we have to be good mentees. What does that mean to you?
So in my experience as a mentee, trying to find out what my mentor expects from me and being able to clearly communicate any issues. So, for example, as a mentee, I was dealing with a lot of racism and sexism and having a mentor that I could trust was very important, and being able to be honest and open about those struggles that I'm dealing with. Because if your mentor doesn't know what's going on in your life, how can they mentor you in how to adjust or redirect or deal with those kinds of battles that you're struggling with? If your mentor doesn't know, how can they help you?
Yes. That's beautiful, that kind of authenticity and transparency on both sides of that relationship. Well, here's a chance for you to mentor our friends that are listening, 160 countries, all 50 states. In COVID-cautious, COVID-safe communities, how can they become part of that? How can they help to build that successfully? Why should they be part of a COVID-safe community? I'm going to hand you the mic and let you do some mentoring in that area of your research right now.
The important thing is to know that you're not alone and that there are very many groups. There are mask blocks. There are clean air clubs. There are there's a wealth of people on social media that are talking about COVID still, and they're not afraid of talking about the issues that come with COVID. Mm-hmm. And it's important to remember that you're not alone, and that there are many people in the COVID communities, clean air communities that, yeah, okay, we know maybe you weren't masking, or maybe you didn't care so much about COVID. A lot of us, that's okay. Recognizing, you know, maybe you were uninformed or misinformed, but you're coming back and you're practicing community care. You don't want to catch COVID. You don't want to spread it. And clean air communities are very welcoming in that fact for many of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's excellent. That's wonderful. My granddad used to say, repentance ain't no big thing. Just stop and turn around. Mm-hmm. And so at any point, we can stop, we can turn around, and we can start masking or cleaning the air. We can join other people in our COVID-safe communities. We can protect our children. You know, this is such a beautiful conversation, and I'm so honored to be able to have it with you. And I want to make sure at this point that we honor the matriarchy, you know, Indigenous motherhood. It's the greatest honor we can have. And my goodness, I've been tearing up all through this whole conversation because I understand what's at stake here. There will be people that footnote you in the future. There will be people that quote you in the future. And there will be people that learn from you and go on to teach others. But in the end of the days, they will reminisce over you, and that will be your child and your family members, and they will talk about you and your motherhood and what that means to them. What do you want them to say and remember about you as a mother when they reminisce over you?
Oh, goodness. Thank you for that. I want them to know that I have been trying my hardest to not only protect my child, but to also help protect future generations. It's very important as a mother that I protect him as fiercely as I can, and that the way that I protect my son is evidence-based. It's peer-reviewed, scientific literature-based in how I protect him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We are so blessed and so fortunate, so happy and so grateful that we are blessed to be called mama. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the greatest title. You know, I hear people say Dr. Dawn, and that's fine. But when they say Mama Dawn, that's the truth of it all. You know, I tell my child every day how very much his mama loves him, and how I waited my whole life to meet him. And my life truly started on the day that he was born.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And so for that reason, everything we do to be COVID safe, to protect, to love, to educate, to homeschool, to make decisions that are not always easy decisions to make. You know, I think many of us envisioned a very different childhood for our children and parenting, and we thought it would be a little bit different. But everything that we do because we truly love, love, love our children. And They are the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts and always will be. And so I hope someone has thanked you today for all that you are doing to protect your child, to help build COVID-safe communities, to protect other people, even when they don't really want to cooperate with being protected, right? You know. But thank you. I'll say thank you to you. And I think the very best thing I can read to you is, in Cherokee, there's a word, gageyu, and it means I love you. And in other cultures, they say, oh, you know, I love pizza, I love my sweater, oh, girl, I love your hair. No, that's not what it means for us. It means that I care for you, I will take care of you, I love you, I will give my life for you. I will willingly surrender my happiness for yours so that you eat even if I do not, so that you are safe even if I put myself in danger, that I will protect you with my very breath and all of my life. And I think my granddaddy said it one time, and I love it so much that I wrote it down, and he said, you know, Indigenous people, Native people, are always, all the time telling you they love you. Sometimes they even use words. And so with our actions, building COVID-safe communities and trying to impact the future, we are telling our children every day, gageyu, I love you. I love you. So I thank you for the work that you're doing. I appreciate you more than I can say. Thank you for coming here and sharing with us today. Is there anything else you want to make sure that we know about you or your research that we don't already know?
Yes. So I've gotten some messages on how do I become part of your research?
Mm-hmm.
So people can find me on TikTok. It's at GeoHippie, GeoHippie. I'm also on Twitter at EarthHippie, EarthHippie, and Instagram, and my handle is pandemic.parenting.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for saying yes to this conversation.
Thank you for having me. I thank you so much for having the conversations that you have on your podcast, for all of your hard work, and for fiercely loving your child and your community, and for being my friend. I love you so much. Thank you.
I love you too, and I'm so thankful that you're our friend. We are so grateful for you and your family and your friendship. We love you very much. And we love all of you who listen. We want you to have a bright and radiant, happy life. And we have these conversations to help to add some joy and some wisdom and some knowledge to everything that all of us do. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're all together for another conversation. Next time. I'll see you then.
And you come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all and never look back once the war forgave you. And you come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all and never look back once the war forgets.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com. Yeah.